When peace like a river rushes, death lies great. When sorrows like sheep billows roll,
welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Hello and welcome to the program that we have been so blessed to have here at the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Dennis Hamilton, and we are so very thankful that we can reach out to others by means of this radio program and be able to share the Word of God with you. And I hope that you will also open up your Bibles and study along with me this morning. And we'll look into some things here that I've no doubt you've probably heard before, but we want to look into God's Word and make sure that what we live by and what we speak and what we say to others is only in God's Word, that we never add to or take away from it, because these words are perfect. They are complete. They're all that we need to be able to live our life in such a way that can please the Lord and also be prepared for that day of His return. And I'd like for you to consider something as well. You know, when we become a Christian, we are so blessed. You know, we see this throughout God's Word, the blessing that we have of being a Christian. He provides us with the opportunity to live a new life, a life that pleases Him. Just like the Apostle Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, when he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, we're supposed to be a new person, setting aside what we want to do, what pleases us, and putting God first and foremost in our life. And this is what Peter noted over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23. He says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So yes, liveth and abideth forever. Yes, we have been purified. Our souls have been purified. How? By, like he said there in verse 22, "In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So yes, these words right here are pure, and it can make us, you know, acceptable unto God. That's why we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of God and meeting the approval of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. He is the one that we are to please, not ourselves, not the world out here. But as we continue to look at some of the blessings that we have in being a Christian, you know, we are to live by faith, you know, and we are to walk with God. How? By His Word. And we've been set apart to live a holy life when we become a Christian. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart there, as we read in the book of 1 Corinthians over here in chapter 6 and in verse 11. It says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. These are some of just a few of the things that we can think and note of throughout God's Word that we are so blessed as a Christian. And something else to keep in mind, we are not alone in the things that we have to go through in this life. You know, we're going to have to face, you know, the struggles. There's no doubt about it, just from being a human. But there's also things as a Christian that we have to suffer and endure, because Satan will do the best he can to try to bring you down, to try to discourage you, cause you to go back into the world there. That's why we have to be prepared for those things. Just like Peter noted over in chapter 1 of 1 Peter in verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. You see, he's there with us. That's why you cannot live a Christian life until you become a Christian. Now, you may be a good moral person, but being a good moral person is not enough. You have to be a child of God. You have to be a Christian. We read about a man named Cornelius over in the book of Acts in chapter 10, who was described as a man who was a devout man, one that prayed, one that gave to the poor, one that helped others. But there was something lacking in his life. And what was lacking was that he was not a Christian. And the Lord provided a way for him to become one when he sent for Peter, and Peter came and told him the words he needed to hear, just like we do today. We present the words of God so that people can also become a Christian. Not my thoughts, not my ideas, but God's. God's is perfect and it's complete. He has designed everything that man needs to know so that he can have a home in heaven with him one day. So why not pay attention to what he has given us? And something else to keep in mind as well in this life right here, living a life of a Christian. God is there for us. He tells us over there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So first of all, we're not going to face anything uncommon. This is how he helps us as a Christian. Also, he said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So you're not going to be tempted above what you're able to bear. Also, he says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's also going to provide you a way of escape out of that situation. An example, you're standing there talking to some others. Someone starts telling some dirty jokes or speaking and saying using foul language. What do? You turn around, you walk off. That's your way of escape. It's provided there. You don't have to stand there and listen to it. And it may not even be a dirty joke. It may be gossip. It may be things there that, you know, as a Christian or anyone else really for that matter, you don't need to be hearing. Walk away. There's always a way that we can get out of that, you see. But see, as a Christian, we are a person who has been called to serve God. And that's the point of this lesson I want you to pay close attention to. We are to save Him. We are serve Him. We are His servant. After all, look at what He's done for us. When you look in the Gospels there, and you look at what Jesus Christ endured for us, even before He was arrested wrongfully and crucified and tortured there even before His crucifixion. Look at what He had to endure. He had to endure those there that had nothing on their mind but to slander Him and try to deride Him and put down the things He said there. Imagine that. You came down here to save someone, save this mankind, and all some of them had on their mind is, well, how are we going to kill this man? It's sad, isn't it? Today, think about it. What all he went through. When you read in the Gospels there, all the details, the slapping and the hitting and the spitting and the scourging. And by the way, that scourging was such a horrible thing. There was pieces of metal and bone at the end of those whips there. When they hit you with those things, it didn't just leave a red mark. It took out pieces of skin. It would actually expose bone. And more often than not, the ones that received this beating and this scourging died as a result of blood loss. Jesus Christ went through that for you and I. And then on top of that, then he was taken and nails was put in his hands and his feet. And he was put on that cross. And then they mocked him while he was there suffering for you and I. Think about that, what he went through just for you and I. He didn't do it because he sinned. He had no sin. He did it for you and I. So why would you not be a servant to him right there? It's only reasonable, isn't it? We are saved to serve. You know, we look over there in the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 1. Look at what Paul said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Nothing at all unreasonable about it. You know, 1 John over there, chapter 5, verse 3 tells us, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. There's nothing grievous about what he wants us to do. He wants us to be the kind of person that will serve him, put him first in our life, so that we can be with him for eternity in heaven. So each person, everyone, has that responsibility. Each one of us are to fulfill the responsibilities that we are in our service to the Lord there. The Apostle Paul noted that over there in 2 Timothy, if you look over there with me in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and about verse 5, look at what he said here to the young Timothy. He said, but watch all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Fulfill it, in other words, make full proof of it. Fulfill your duties there. So, you know, being a servant, you know, this is something, it's actually an honor when you think about it. Serving the Lord, being a servant of his, what an honor it is to be one. When you look down through the Old Testament there and New Testament as well, you look at names like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were described as servants over there in Deuteronomy chapter 9:27. What about Moses? When you look in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53, God said, he's my servant. He said, thy servant. Joshua 24:29, described as a servant of the Lord. Caleb, Numbers 14:24, my servant. Job, servant. Isaiah, a servant. The prophets, all servants. And throughout the New Testament there, you read about James, Paul, Peter, Jude, and John, all those servants. You know, even Jesus, he made it very clear that he came to serve. You know, even Isaiah over there, Isaiah prophesied how that he would come down here in this world and be a servant. Isaiah in chapter 52, starting in verse 13, and we'll read down through 53, verse 12. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? In chapter 53. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers he is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation, for he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge that my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This was a prophecy there by Isaiah, the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now he already was, Jesus Christ was there at creation. Jesus Christ was there with the Father. But he came down here, left the throne of glory, and just as Isaiah described what was going to take place, he would take upon him our punishment. Remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. He took upon him our punishment, you see. And this was all foretold. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve, just as he noted there in Matthew 20 and verse 28. But also look with me over there in the book of Philippians, if you will, in chapter 2 and in verse 7, what Paul wrote about Jesus Christ. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Yes, the Son of God there. Even he was a servant there. You can see how that he showed his disciples over there in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, that how that they were to be too, to be humble and to be a servant when he washed their feet there. So yes, this was something he was showing them servitude. He was showing them humbleness there and meekness there. So what an honor if God were to look upon us as his servants, like he did those great prophets of old and men that we read about in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament as well. That would be a great honor to be called a servant of the Lord, wouldn't it? But how are we to behave as a servant of God? You know, that right there is something we have to keep in mind. It involves complete obedience. That means complete, putting him first in our life. You know, just look upon it as like being a slave. We are doing the will of the master. The Lord is our master. We're bound to do what he wants us to do. Does this describe what you're doing in your relationship to Christ? Do you have a relationship with Christ? First and foremost, become a Christian and be a servant of his. You could ask for no better master. You could ask for no one better, because he only has your, what's good, the best of you in mind. He only has what's good for you in mind. You cannot ask for that. You know, there's people in the world that we might trust and might love and think highly of, but none of them can have your interest like the Lord does, because he went the extra mile. He died on the cross for your sins. So does this describe your relationship? You know, we have to come to Jesus on his terms also, not our own. He said over there in Luke 6:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" Yeah, why do many call him Lord, but then they don't obey what he's told them? He said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Many claim to love the Lord, but are they truly obeying his commandments? You know, he said over there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, these words right here about some that will be calling him Lord, Lord. But look at what he said there in that verse 21 of chapter 7 of Matthew. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, it's one thing to say he's my Lord, but are you servant? Are you his servant? Are you doing his will? He made that very clear. He said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He goes on to say there in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" They'll say, "What? Look at all these things we've done for you." Were they serving him, or are they serving themselves, is the question. Look at what his answer is in verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." today, if you're a servant of the Lord, if you're a Christian first and foremost, that's what has to happen first to be a servant. Hear the word of God, believe it, repent of your sins, confess him as the Son of God, and then be baptized for remission of your sins. If you are a servant of his, you're going to be obedient to him. You are going to attend all the services at the Lord's church, all of it, and be glad to be there and be a part of it. Unfortunately, many don't even want to show up to services. And if they come on Sunday morning, they just want to be here for maybe an hour. Giving the Lord 1 hour of the week, and look what he does for you all the rest of the week. Isn't that sad? And that's what this is, the attitude of so many today. Show up and think, well, I've eased my conscience a little bit. I've showed up for an hour here. Why would you not want to be here for Bible study and enjoy the study of God's Word with other brothers and sisters in Christ? If you can't stand to be with others there, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, each and every time the doors are open to the church house, do you think you're going to be there with them in heaven one day? You better think again, because you're not. You will not. According to God's word, you know, we have to be a dedicated servant there. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that definitely is the manner of some and their attitude in serving the Lord. They don't want to come to the services there. And that's a shame. After what all the Lord has done for us, is that showing that you're a servant of the Lord? Absolutely not. That's some of the things that is hindering people today. They're not behaving as a servant of God when they do that. They shouldn't even call themselves. They should be thankful and welcome the opportunity to be able to come and worship him and learn more about his word and what his way is. That's what a servant will do. Will listen to what God's word tells them to do. You know, we have to have a humility about us. We have to have a humble opinion of ourselves, not to be proud and boast about ourselves. You know, when you think about what the Apostle Paul noted over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, look at the opinion he had of himself there. Starting in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians in verse 9 and 10, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." The Apostle Paul didn't even want to be considered. He said, you know, I'm the least of them, because he knew that he had done wrong when he persecuted the church. But as wrong as he was, and as horrible as what the things he had committed there, he was still, you know, he was still forgiven. He repented. You know, there's people in the world today think, well, I've done so many horrible things, I cannot be saved. Yes, you can. But you have to be obedient to God's word. You have to repent. You have to be sorry that you sinned against the Lord. That's what David did. The David that we read about in the Psalms. He was sorry for what he had done there when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was sorry when he had her husband put in the heat of the battle and murdered. He was sorry and he repented, and the Lord forgave him. Now, he still had to face the consequences. Now, you may have done something in this world here and in this life that was horrible, and you have to face the consequences. But still yet, you can be forgiven of God, and that's all worth it. And you can be a servant of his. You know, does this describe your relationship with Christ? Are you just like Paul there? I have that humble opinion of yourself. It should. Jesus said over there in the book of Luke in chapter 17 and verse 10, look at what he said about our servitude. He said, "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do." So when you've done this and you've done that for the Lord, don't brag about it. That was your duty. That's what you were supposed to do. And that's being humble there. But if you go around murmuring and complaining, say, well, I have to do this and I have to do that, you know, when it comes right down to it, you don't have to serve the Lord. But I will tell you right now, you will wish you had one day. because when he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on that that serve not God and the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking vengeance, that means that you will have to suffer the second death. That means that you will spend eternity in hell. So yes, if you don't want to serve the Lord, you know, we are free will. We have that choice. Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Make that choice. But if you don't make the choice, you will have to suffer the consequences there. Many will wish they had have served the Lord, but it's an honor to serve the Lord. When you think about what he went through for us, you know, and to be loyal to him, you know, we are to be loyal to him, loyal to his word, loyal, you know, no matter what we face in this life. You know, we read how that the prophets there and how that they suffered, but they still went ahead and proclaimed the word of God. We read about prophets like Elijah. We read about Jeremiah, Isaac, and, you know, and the list goes on. All that they had to endure, but they still served the Lord, you see. Now, they were men just like you and I, but they had that faith, you see. That was the difference right there. And you can increase your faith, and you can have that faith, too, when you study God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So it's not like it's something that you can't attain, because you can. You can have it. You have to have that desire for it. You have to have that thirst for it. You have to have that hunger for it. You have to desire the sincere milk of the word, as Peter noted in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Desire it and want it so that you can be a servant of the Lord. I hope we went over a few things of interest to you, and I hope that it will encourage you and strengthen you if you are already a Christian. But if you've not become a Christian, I urge you to become one. If you'll come here to the Brummett Church of Christ, my name is Dennis Hamilton. I'll be glad to sit down and tell you what you need to do. I will show you in God's Word what you must do so that you can become a Christian and one day have that home in heaven. But at this time, I hope you have a good day.
My Savior.